welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, a woman finds Sunday sermons, well, boring. And this particular Sunday, the sermon is not only boring, but long. Will her fellow mass-goers feel the same way? Stay tuned to find out on another Stories from the Heart. Sermon. Mrs. Cunningham was as good a Catholic as any of her neighbors, but she believed in moderation, and one of the things about which she was moderate was the hearing of sermons. They bored her, she said, because there was never anything new or interesting in them, and besides, they did not make her, or, as she was convinced, anyone else, wiser or better. Now, on that certain Sunday morning, it chanced that the sermon was preached by Father Sweeney, a young priest fresh from the seminary. He was timid and greatly embarrassed that he stammered over the brief weekly announcements, and after he began to preach, he more than once repeated himself, word for word, and two or three times quoted his familiar text in this way: "I was hungry, and he gave me to drink, thirsty, and he gave me to eat." And then slowly and painstakingly repeated it correctly. Now, for the first few minutes, Mrs. Cunningham was inclined to listen indulgently. Afterwards, she was tempted to laugh. She glanced smilingly at little Miss Potter, who sat at her right. But Miss Potter's thin, tired face was turned toward the speaker, and plainly she was drinking in every word. Past her, Mrs. Cunningham could see old Mr. Orcutt, as motionless as a statue. But whether he was asleep or deep in thought, Mrs. Cunningham could not tell. For 10 minutes, for 15, for 25, the young priest talked. Mrs. Cunningham's feeling of amusement and her small store of patience were both exhausted long before he stopped. With a sigh of relief, Father Sweeney found a stopping place, made a large sign of the cross, and descended from the pulpit. As she left the church after the close of Mass, Mrs. Cunningham came face to face with Miss Potter. "Wasn't that sermon tiresome? I thought it would never end." "Perhaps it was a bit long," Miss Potter agreed doubtfully. "Rather long. It was endless." But the next instant, she saw one of her intimate friends pass through the doorway, and with a word of goodbye to Miss Potter, hurried after her. And from that moment, until she was forcibly reminded of it the next morning, Mrs. Cunningham did not give another thought to that sermon. Now, a few days earlier, a terrific windstorm had swept over three or four small towns in the southern part of the state, leaving a toll of lives and hundreds of men, women, and children in a pitiable plight and homeless. St. Vincent's Relief Society, of which Mrs. Cunningham was last year's president, had volunteered to collect and send money, food, and clothing to the sufferers, and send them promptly. On Monday morning, Mrs. Cunningham knew that she had an unusually busy day before her. By 7:30, she had brought down from the attic an old-fashioned coat and a hat of other days as her contribution to the victims of the tornado. The doorbell rang so softly that she doubted whether the housemaid could hear it. Slipping off her old hat, Mrs. Cunningham went to the door herself and found little Miss Porter standing shyly on the step. To Mrs. Cunningham's amazement, Miss Potter handed her a roll of bills. Now, Miss Potter was alone in the world and poor. She did plain sewing by day when she could get it, which was not every day by any means. Mrs. Cunningham had always compassion in her pinched face and old-fashioned, even threadbare clothes, and instinctively she was slow to accept the money. With the quick sensitiveness of the gentle poor Miss Potter saw and understood Mrs. Cunningham's hesitation. "I have saved for a long time to buy a new winter coat," she said, "but I am 100 times better off than those poor stricken people. I can easily make the coat I'm wearing last for one winter more. And after hearing that sermon yesterday morning, I could not enjoy a better coat if I had it. You were there, Mrs. Cunningham, so you understand how I feel about it. Mrs. Cunningham only half understood, and she could not find a word to say. So here's the money. I must hurry on my way, or I'll be late, Miss Potter concluded. Still standing in the doorway, Mrs. Cunningham stared at the money for a few moments. Then she unfolded and counted it. Five $5 bills. Wow, from Miss Potter, Mrs. Cunningham murmured thoughtfully. And after an instant, she repeated, from Miss Potter. Becoming conscious at last that cold air was sweeping into the house, she closed the door and went to the sunroom. The bills she dropped into a tin box, which stood waiting on one of the tables, and laid her own offering on a chair in the most unobtrusive corner that she could find. Before she had quite finished her preparations, the maid came to the doorway that led toward the front of the house. Mrs. Cunningham, Mr. Orcutt is in the living room. He says he wants to see you for just 1 minute. Mr. Orcutt, Mrs. Cunningham echoed incredibly. She had known him all her life, but he had never before set foot in her house or in any other house, as far as she had heard. He was an old man, undoubtedly peculiar and reputed both rich and miserly. As soon as Mrs. Cunningham had shaken hands with him, Mr. Arquette bluntly stated the object of his visit. I never make calls, he said, and I'm making one now. I hate them. They are utter foolishness. I came because I saw in yesterday's newspaper that you and some other ladies are going to send help to the people that were devastated by the tornado. I want to give you an offering for them. It was only the week before last that I wrote a check for the Community Chest Fund and congratulated myself that I was done with giving for another year. But the harrowing stories that we have all heard of the suffering caused by the storm and then that sermon at the 10:30 Mass yesterday... Well, it wasn't a fair way to treat us stingy people, and I'll tell Father Sweeney the first time I see him. Mrs. Cunningham smiled in spite of herself. I heard Father Sweeney's sermon. I was at that Mass, too. The sermon it was, she stammered. Oh, I'm not saying the young man is eloquent. He isn't, but he is in earnest. Sermons were never meant to be entertaining, as vaudeville acts or concert numbers are. He simply gave us our Lord's own words again and again, unembellished. That was the trouble. There was no evading the issue. Mr. Arquette handed her a check, and Mrs. Cunningham smiled delightedly. Thank you so much. I am very glad you heard Father Sweeney's sermon, she said laughingly. Mr. Arquette's errand was done, and the words were hardly out of her mouth before he turned towards the hall. As she hurried ahead of him to open the door, she heard this old man repeat softly to himself, I was hungry, and he gave me to eat. Thirsty, and he gave me to drink. Very gently, she closed the door behind him and instantly unfolded the check. It was for $1,175. Not a minute had passed before the bell rang again, and on reopening the door, Mrs. Cunningham found herself face to face with Mrs. Donnelly, Vice President of the St. Vincent's Relief Society. It is hardly more than 9 o'clock, she began, and just peep out and see my car. It's full of everything you could ever hear of, cabs of corn and peas and beans and shoes and stockings and mittens and caps and scarves and, well, everything. As soon as we have it unpacked, I must go back for much more. Isn't it wonderful? Father's guardian angel certainly suggested that text to him yesterday. There's no doubt we owe all of our success to his talk. Mrs. Drew was first to bring me something this morning, and she said she would never have thought of helping people far away but for that sermon. And Mrs. Kennedy said something of the same sort. Mr. Duffy sent $10, and he sat directly in front of me at Mass yesterday. Once or twice he did doze off for a few minutes during the sermon, but at that he heard enough to touch his heart. By 11 o'clock, not only the chairs and tables in the sunroom, but the floor as well, was piled high with donations. A place had hardly to be cleared in the living room, And when it overflowed, Mrs. Cunningham arranged to store the last offerings in the unused side of her garage. It was growing dusk, and their task was almost finished when a poorly dressed young couple found their way to the garage and stood hesitating in the doorway. Mrs. Cunningham dropped the cap she was sorting and went forward to speak to them. And the man, well, he was little more than a boy, held out to her a bulky package which he was carrying. He began to explain, but suddenly his lips quivered, and he looked appealingly at his wife. "It's some baby clothes," she was quick to supplement. "He was born at Christmas last year. We had him for 6 months. Until yesterday morning, we thought we'd always keep his little things to look at. But since it's like giving them to Christ, and perhaps some other baby may be cold for need of them, so we decided..." Her voice failed her here. She, in turn, looked at her husband for help, but he could not say a word. Mrs. Cunningham laid a tender hand on each one's shoulder. "I see," she said very softly. "I have a little one, too, in heaven." The young boy swallowed hard and thrust out his hand. "Goodbye," he said. "I guess we better be going." The little mother impulsively kissed Mrs. Cunningham. "You'll be careful in handling them, won't you?" she whispered. "Something more?" Mrs. Donnelly asked eagerly when Mrs. Cunningham rejoined her. "Yes, something precious. Some baby clothes," she answered, but did not explain further. "It hath been wonderful. I did not dream we should get any such response," she said then. "It was Father Sweeney's sermon that did it," Mrs. Donnelly said for the second time that day. "We wouldn't have one-tenth of our donations if he had not chanced to preach a sermon that helped us. There's no estimating the influence of even one sermon, is there? Usually we don't see the effect, as we have done today. But it must always be big, or else why would Christ have told his apostles to preach the good news?" "I have been a goose," Mrs. Cunningham confessed emphatically. "Why, I have always thought that sermons are..." Well, I'm ashamed to say what I thought about them. Thank you for joining us in Stories from the Heart. Today's story, That Tiresome Sermon, was written by Florence Gilmore and published in Messenger of the Sacred Heart magazine. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.